Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
All right, we're back. Most of us are back. Two-thirds of us are back. Hi, Kareem.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing better than last week. Last week was weird. Leslie was not well, and it was one of those things where it's like the person in your house is not doing well, and you're like, I don't know if I want to leave them alone.
Yeah,
it was that sort of unwell. Turns out she has a sinus infection, on antibiotics for that. I think you were a little under the weather too.
Yeah,
and this week it's Jason.
Of course.
Jason is a little unwell, and his daughter has something, so he didn't want to give it to us, so we appreciate that. More than you know, Jason. I do not want to get some sort of evil super baby disease.
I know. And I was at Kaiser all day today with my mom, so I hope I didn't pick up anything in there.
Oh, there's everything in there. Everything at Kaiser.
Including girls with chihuahuas in their titties.
Well, you know, they got to be somewhere. Speaking of titties, I don't know if you saw this or not. I was going to do this later in the show, but you brought up titties, so I have to go to it early. There was, this is from last week, a protester, at Bill Cosby's trial in New York. She was topless when she had Women's Lives Matter written on her body. She jumped a barricade and got within a few feet of Bill Cosby. This was a couple weeks ago as the comedian walked into a suburban Philadelphia courthouse for the start of his sexual assault retrial. So, here's some,
Hey, hey, hey! Women's lives matter! Hey, hey, hey! Something cut me right there!
So Bill Cosby is pretty much blind at this point, so he had to be a little freaked out.
He was still trying to see.
Well, yeah, he was squinting hard.
Yeah, he was like, there's some titties out there? Her name's
Nicole Rochelle. She's 38. She was charged with disorderly conduct for darting in front of Cosby. Here's the fun part. She actually appeared a few times on The Cosby Show in the early 90s. She said, when I was 12 years old, I did recur on The Cosby Show, but regardless of whether I had been on the show or not, I would have been there today protesting on behalf of Femin, F-E-M-E-N, and the rights of women worldwide. She acted on the show under the name Nicole Leach. A friend confirmed those appearances, and the New Jersey native who currently lives in France is accused of disrobing and lunging in front of the comedian and his entourage as they walked into the Montgomery County Courthouse. Her body was scrawled with the names of dozens of Cosby accusers, as well as the words Women's Lives Matter. That's a hell of a start to your Monday morning, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Yeah, she, let me throw the photo of her up here so you can take a peek at. This is an angry, angry lady. There she is. There she is in all of her angry gloriousness. And for living in France, her armpit's suspiciously clean.
Yeah.
Well, she is American. She's living in France.
Yeah.
He seemed startled by the commotion. Well, no, I would have been startled.
I think everybody was startled.
How could you not be startled if a woman jumps over a hedge topless and starts screaming like that? I mean, if you're not startled by that, I don't trust you.
I don't either. I wonder what that cop was doing, I wonder if that cop was trying to figure out where he could grab her without grabbing him.
Yes, absolutely. And that is the real, challenge of being a cop. It's not whether to shoot or not shoot. It's how do you subdue an angry female without technically sexually assaulting her.
So, when I was in high school, there was these two girls that got into a fight. And one of the girls' name was Jackie Gray. Jackie Gray had like the biggest hands in school. The girl that she fought reached out and grabbed her Maybe she did it to the girl, but whoever it was reached out and grabbed the girl and yanked her shirt and bra off.
Wow. Wow, that's why you go with a three-hook design, ladies. Three hooks.
And the assistant principal was trying to break up the fight with somebody else.
Right.
And with her titties out, he couldn't figure out where to grab her. So
it's the conundrum of our times, really. Like, where do you grab without grabbing the titties?
It was the funniest thing you ever see. Oh, man.
Yeah. So, if you're wondering what Femin is, as I was, it's a European feminist group known for staging topless protests around the world. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Oddly, if the trial were in New York, she would have been fine because it's perfectly cool for women to be topless in New York.
Okay.
As long as it's not for sexual purposes.
Yes.
If it's just to have the shirt off, perfectly okay in New York. So.
I just want to say this because I saw this thing last week, this other thing last week about a girl who had to go, whose school asked her to, she didn't wear a bra.
Right.
And so the school asked her to cover up her nipples.
Yes.
She was like, stop sexualizing my nipples. Okay. Women, this is a biology lesson for you. If you actually have titties, the nature has already sexualized you. That is the whole purpose of you having them, is to let men know that you are now fertile and ready for reproduction.
You can argue their dual purpose. They are for pleasure and they are for sustenance.
But when you get those, that means your period has come and you are now by nature standard a woman, which your whole purpose in developing is to attract the male. That is nature. That's not me being a misogynist. That is a natural occurring thing. And somehow somebody forgot to tell y'all that.
Well, no, it is, but, and by the way, it was always a delight. I remember being in school, whenever you could see a nipple forcing its way up to the fabric like that, that was just a good day.
Yes.
If you're a guy.
Yes.
That was just a good day. So I will also say to all of you angry administrators, settle down. Settle down.
Yes. It is part of nature.
It is. And if we can see a nipple pop, if she's okay with it.
Yes.
And by the way, you can go, oh, well, she was causing a disturbance. No, that's when you pull everybody aside and go, they're nipples. We all have them.
Yes.
Settle down.
Yes.
And if you can't control yourself, you can go to detention or you can go home. And the problem will be solved really quickly.
Exactly.
It'll still be a delight to look at, though, if you're a young boy. That's just the way it goes. We're not going to change that. All right. So while we were away, WrestleMania 34 happened, which was very long. It was a very long show.
I almost hit you up to see if you were watching it because...
We were on a delay though, because we'd gone to Berkeley in the morning so Leslie could get some, glasses at the Warby Parker store.
Okay.
So we started late. We always do because when it's on the network, it's streaming and sometimes it's just much better to get it, on a bit of a delay because there's time for it to buffer.
Yeah.
So what we saw in that 7 hours, if you include the pre-show, was the in-ring debut of Ronda Rousey. And, she, by all accounts, did really well for herself. They surrounded her with people who knew what they were doing. She's been preparing for this one match for 3 months, I think.
Yeah.
Since she first showed up. So they did, but just really, really well done. She's clearly, I mean, we obviously know she's been on a big stage before.
Yeah.
But this is different.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's choreographed to a point, whereas MMA is just you trying not to get hit, which she got bad at the end.
Yeah.
So this is much, much better, sort of set up for this. So we'll run through the thing, really quickly. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. That was in the pre-show. That sucked. It did. It kind of sucked. Matt Hardy won. Awoken Matt Hardy won. So that's fine. They had the Cruiserweight Championship in the pre-show. Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. It was a good match.
Yeah.
It was good. No one cared, but it was a good match. Then they had the first ever WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
I can't believe that that's the first.
That is the first WrestleMania
women's battle royal. Okay.
They had the Women's Royal Rumble match in January. That was actually good.
Okay.
That match was good. I would, overall, if you go through the evening, the women, better job than the men. On a whole. They just did a really nice job. I did not like the ending of it, but it was better than the men's. The actual show started with the Intercontinental Championship, The Miz versus Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. That was probably the best men's match of the night. Seth Rollins is your new champion. Charlotte Flair versus Asuka for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Best match of the night.
No.
Easily the best match of the night. They fucking killed it. So much so that the rumor now is next year at WrestleMania, the main event will be Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey.
Ooh.
Which would be, if women have headlined pay-per-views before in WWE.
Yeah.
Only recently. But to headline the big one would be huge. Absolutely huge. Then you had the U.S. Championship match, Randy Orton versus Bobby Roode versus Jinder Mahal versus Rusev. That sucked.
too many people.
Then you had the Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon and Triple H match. It was a really good match. Really good match. Fun to watch. At one point, I really thought they were going to have Triple H submit to Ronda Rousey in the armbar. They didn't. That would have been kind of cool, but they ended up, Stephanie McMahon tapped out. But, it was really, really good. Best line of the night on commentary, the butterflies in Ronda Rousey's stomach must be the size of pterodactyls.
I like that.
It's a great line. The SmackDown Tag Team titles were up next. The Usos versus the New Day versus the Bludgeon Brothers. Sucked. It was a squash match for the Bludgeon Brothers, which makes very little sense.
Why did they have all these three team?
It's just trying to get everybody in.
Oh, okay.
Trying to get everybody in. Then you had John Cena versus The Undertaker. That was god awful. It was terrible.
I thought The Undertaker retired.
We all thought The Undertaker retired. No, he came back. He took the 20-minute walk to the ring. It was also a squash match. It sucked. It was boring. And in fact, there was one kick that he did to John Cena's head as John Cena was running across the ring that was so low that John Cena had to fall down early. And you could clearly see that the boot did not come within 6 inches of John Cena.
Oh.
It was brutal. Just awful. Then you had, Daniel Bryan and his return to the ring and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Good match. Good match. Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax. Really good match. The one that everybody had waiting for, the dream match, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Just okay. But at the end, Shinsuke turned heel and hit him with a low blow. So that was good.
Okay.
That was good. There's going to be more from those two. And, and this was the dumbest thing of the night. So the tag team champions at the time were The Bar, and they were taking on Braun Strowman, who's this 6'8", 385-pound dude. Badass dude. He won a tag team battle royal by himself. He had a mystery partner, and he comes out and is like, you've all been wondering who my mystery partner's going to be. It's one of you, and he's pointing around. He goes out into the crowd and gets a 10-year-old kid.
Oh, God.
Brings him up to the ring. Brings him into the ring, then has him stand on the apron. He ends up winning the match. So there for 24 hours, there was a 10-year-old who was the Raw Tag Team Champion. It was the dumbest thing ever. They did get out of it in a very clever way the following night by having them announce that, I believe the kid's name is Nicholas, they had to vacate the titles because Nicholas had scheduling conflicts. He was in the fourth grade.
Oh, wow.
Right? And then finally, the main event, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Whew. At one point, the crowd was chanting, this is awful.
Oh.
Now, granted, they'd been sitting there for 8 hours. They put in a full day's work. It was not a great match. Yeah. People are bored of Braun Strowman. People do not, or Brock Lesnar. People do not like Roman Reigns. At one point, Brock Lesnar used his elbows to open up a huge, gushing vein on Roman Reigns' forehead. Like he had a full mask of blood, like Dusty Rhodes style mask of blood.
Oh, wow.
Still couldn't save that match.
Wow.
Yeah. The internet site Bleacher Report gave that match a C plus. Only a C plus. So, the real story of WrestleMania was Ronda Rousey silencing all the haters, and probably the greatest debut ever. If you didn't see, let me show you what this looks like, her coming down to the ring. She knew Rowdy Roddy Piper. She's going with a very similar look. She's got a much shorter kilt than Roddy had, and, instead of the t-shirt, she went with the, basically sports bra.
Gotcha.
So she looked good. She looked ready. And it was just a really good match. You know, covered that a little bit before, but, yeah, she nailed all of her stuff. She was on time with stuff. It looked good. It felt good. Let me see if I can play this for you. I think this, one thing, Kareem. Yeah. There's where she's beating up Triple H in the corner. You know, and it's harder to fake punch someone than you think.
Yeah.
And make it look good. And she really did a nice job with this. Although he does look like she is tickling him to death.
Yeah, she does.
In this gym. It's like, oh, stop tickling me. But ultimately it was a really, really, really good, debut. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with her moving forward. Cause she's always been a big wrestling fan. So it's nice to see someone be able to sort of live their dream that way, especially after watching how she had to leave
the
UFC.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was awful.
So brutal. All right. I found out about this last week as well. It is the nation's biggest collection of racist objects at the Jim Crow Museum. I'm sure you were aware of the Jim Crow Museum, Kareem. Were
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we might have talked about it on the show. But here's a little... you can tell by the ominous music.
I started collecting racist objects when I was a teenager. And the stuff was everywhere. At a certain point, I ended up with thousands of pieces. I didn't know what I would do with it. I just thought a lot about what it meant to be a person of color living during Jim Crow. Had no intention of creating a museum, but the collection kept growing. So in the 1990s, I gave my collection to the university. It took 15 years, but in 2012, we opened this museum. I have lots of respect for museums that celebrate African-American history, that celebrate African-American accomplishment, but that's not what this facility was. I wanted to create an actual racism facility to have people focused on this specific topic in terms of our history. So if you just have a society with millions of just postcards like this, does that reinforce certain ideas about black people and white?
It is an image of a black man being whipped in a public square. That's the image he's talking about right now.
Some of the best discussions we have in the museum are about the word nigger, which sounds kind of weird, by the way, because I'm a sociologist and we don't believe words have any inherent meaning. They're just sound signs that we give. But we do believe that people, once the meanings are given, that they are shared.
I mean, no piece is inherently racist. It's a racist society which will create racist objects and will racialize other objects. That's why the watermelon has a racial... There's nothing inherent about a watermelon that makes it racist. But you know darn well that it's been racialized.
Someone looking at Aunt Jemima objects or other mammy images, they don't think of that as offensive. They think of good times spent with the families. It's very nostalgic. Someone else looking at those same pieces, they see the vestiges of slavery and segregation. So often we're not deciding that something is racist, but what we are doing are collecting pieces that help us talk about racism. We have lots of friends of the museum, and we receive hundreds of pieces a year. The first director of the museum said to me one day, hey, there's a couple guys I want you to meet.
Here we go. Here's some Jim Crow-related materials. These are the dolls. And some of them are older, some are newer.
These are like 1950s.
This is
male and female.
Yeah. Those
1950s. That wasn't that long ago.
Nope.
it's the whole thing is on Vice News. I encourage you to look it up because the audio, while powerful, does not really do justice to the disgusting images. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. I think it's pretty disgusting. The whole, and the fact that it was going on, and you can just go into antique shops all around. I mean, I'm guessing a lot of antique shops will look at this stuff and go, yeah, no. But if you take an antique shop that does like estate stuff,
yeah,
where they go in and you're just finding all, yeah, you're going to find a lot of it. Grandma had it.
Yeah.
If you're wondering, we have a list of the 13 most racist things at the Jim Crow Museum of racist memorabilia. So this is like the creme de la creme of racist stuff. The first one is the National Tattler, which was a weekly for 15 cents. Their headline, "The most shocking story you have ever read, Negro woman has ape baby and nearly died from the pain." What the fuck?
Somebody believed it.
Well, yeah. People believed in Bat Boy, too. Here's another sign. "Attention, Negroes throwing peanuts at white people in this theater will not be tolerated." The management and the, I think it's the Massachusetts, Selma, Alabama Police Department.
Yeah.
Selma Police Department.
That's what happens when you make us sit in the balcony.
Was this really a problem that they were throwing peanuts at white people? Okay. This one is really gross. According to racists, African American babies drink ink to maintain their skin color. And it's a an artist rendering of an African American baby drinking ink from a well. Then this next one is a little bit more recent. "Victims of forced busing awake. Busing will turn your neighborhood schools into a savage jungle. Busing brutalizes productive, civilized students with a wave of crime, extortion, rape, cannibalism. Forced busing has led to a shocking increase in interracial sex." I think that's their biggest problem with it.
Yeah.
"Forced busing will result in a race of mulattoes." By the way, you can't say mulattoes anymore.
I guess cannibalism and interracial sex might go hand in hand.
Look, I don't know what goes on in the African American community, Kareem, but I, you know, if there's cannibalism, you know, I'm not okay with that. Then there's a jolly game for any number of players. Yes, it's the game of Alabama Coon. Yeah. Oh, here's a nice sign. It says "No dogs, Negroes, and Mexicans." Here's a bar of Tar Baby soap for Mammy's little cotton picker. Wow, these are really racist.
Yeah.
Well, they're the most racist things in the Jim Crow Museum. Oh boy. Whew. I'm not really even sure what this is. it's a poster. Looks like a movie poster. So maybe there's a bad movie.
Is that Chrissy Teigen?
It could be. The quote on it says, "I look white. I married white. Now I must live with a secret that can destroy us both.
I pass for white."
Yep. I passed for white. Oh no. Oh no. Yeah, that's, the next one is this is really something. It's a bib, white bib, and it's I heart, and then it's the N word that are dead. So get your kids started out racist early. Then there's a bunch of Aunt Jemima collectibles, I guess. You know, they really look racist when you put an army of them together, Kareem.
Yes,
it's bad. What is this?
Nicklets.
What is this? This is like a game of Monopoly, but really, really racist. I believe it's called Ghetto.
Yes.
We're almost to the end. Here's a really recent one. It's a t-shirt, with a rendering of, President Obama that, has the words "cocaine crazed Negro" on it. and another t-shirt that says Obama loves America like OJ loved Nicole. And then there's the
manacles from slavery.
Yeah, from slavery, which would be the most racist thing. Wow.
This is the country that we live in.
Wow, and you're thinking, that was so long ago. That was so long ago. And then two black guys went to Starbucks to wait for their friend and had the gall to ask to use the bathroom. And then they got arrested. It's not funny.
The worst thing that happened to me last week.
You can't go to Starbucks anymore?
I'm on the road every day.
And that's your thing.
That's my thing. Like I had to go to Chico last week, and I always stop at the Starbucks at Winners because I have to use the bathroom.
Sure.
And to get something to keep me awake.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't stop at Starbucks at Winners.
Well,
I have to find somewhere else to pee.
The good news, if anything comes out of this, is the two men that were arrested have agreed to meet with the Starbucks CEO, who is, I'm sure, going to be very apologetic about the whole situation.
Oh, he apologized this morning on ABC, and it was he took full responsibility. He didn't shirk anything. And then a video of another black man in L.A. surfaced at Starbucks, being told that he could not use the bathroom because he hadn't purchased anything. And then the white guy came out of the bathroom and he said, "Excuse me, sir, but did you buy anything before you went to the bathroom?" And he was like, "No, but I'm going to." And he was like, "Okay, there you go."
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, I've gone to Starbucks and just used the bathroom and left.
Oh, the good thing about this is there have been so many white people or other people who have pointed out the fact that they go in Starbucks all the time,
yeah,
and don't buy anything and sit there for hours,
mm-hmm,
and use their Wi-Fi and whatnot. And so, and the white people who were at Starbucks when these men were arrested, who actually spoke up and said, "This is bullshit," they weren't doing anything. So,
right.
So we've made some progress in that way. So I have to, I can't ignore the fact that those people did step up and did say things. And then there was one of the tweets I read was a guy who said he worked at Starbucks for 4 years, and their policy was they wanted you there. So they wanted Starbucks to be your number three. So they wanted home, work, and Starbucks.
Right.
That's what the policy was. So the fact that this idiot decided to call the police, and I don't condone dumb shit. You know, if they had been acting up or whatever and you called the police or you wanted them out, that's one thing. But yeah, they weren't doing anything.
Right. And literally the people that were there were saying things like, "We didn't know there was even anything happening until the police showed up."
Yeah.
And by the way, what the hell? When the cops show up, their friend showed up at the same time the cops did, basically.
Yeah.
As they were being let out in handcuffs. Shouldn't that have been the end of it?
It should have, but the police were like, "Oh, well, they said that they wouldn't leave, so no."
No, trust me. 8 hours. They spent 8 hours in custody.
Yeah.
For doing nothing.
Yeah. And Starbucks was like, "Oh, this is really bad. We don't want to press charges."
Well, and the Philadelphia police are like, "Well, what are we supposed to do? We got to call that these guys were trespassing. They said they weren't going to leave."
Yeah.
Our hands are tied. I don't know that they are. I mean,
yeah, at some point you have to be an adult and be like, "Look, this is dumb."
Yeah, just show up and have a conversation and go, "What's going on?" Yeah. "Oh, these guys won't leave." "Why won't you leave?" "We're meeting our friend here."
"What did they do for you to want them to leave besides just sitting there?"
Right. And then how many people are just sitting here doing nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be the whole thing. Be like, "Calm down."
Yeah. Somebody should have been the adult.
Yeah,
the manager should have been the adult.
Right. Well, the manager is now unemployed.
Yeah.
So that's good news. There were protests, people marching in the streets.
Yes.
So that's good.
Actually,
it's not good that it had to happen, but it's good that when shit like this goes down, that people are going to take to the streets and go, this is not okay.
Yes. Like I said, I have to give props to the white people that spoke up.
And I've been seeing things on social media. Well, they must have done something. It's like, look, we've gone through this. They didn't.
Yeah.
How many people do you need to say they didn't do anything before you go, they didn't do anything? There's no charges. They were released. The CEO of Starbucks said they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
All of the eyewitnesses said they didn't do anything. So settle down, racists.
Exactly. So I'm reading the feed of the lady who actually originally posted the video.
Right.
And she was the person who was sitting in Starbucks, and you have people questioning her about, well, there must be more to the story. She's like, no, there's nothing else to the story. I'm sitting here watching what happened. Like, you hear the person, you hear people yell, they didn't do anything as the police are leading them out.
One interesting thing is one of my friends on Facebook, well, he's my friend in real life, but he's back in Vermont, and he posted something about, basically the gist of it was, there's no more to the story. This happened. By the way, I've gone to Starbucks and sat there waiting for friends for a long time, not doing anything. I've gone there when I was drunk and should have been thrown out, and nothing happened because I'm white. And somebody responded, and they were having a bit of a back and forth, and he goes, well, they must have done something. You don't get arrested for doing nothing. And he said, you and I don't get arrested for doing nothing. We're white. They clearly got arrested for doing nothing.
Yeah.
And the response was then, how many genders do you think there are?
Okay. I'm gonna let white people know this right now.
Listen up, white people.
The laws, the crimes of loitering and trespassing are racist laws, period. These two laws were created in order to arrest freed slaves in order to be used for convict leasing.
Mm-hmm.
So before you ask any questions about a black person who's been arrested for loitering or trespassing, it is automatically racist because the law itself, the two laws themselves are racist.
Well, in their origin, but that doesn't mean that you can't be loitering in a situation now.
It doesn't, but that's what they are.
Sure. In their origin.
In their origin.
Absolutely.
And in their application most of the time.
A lot of the times, yeah.
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 So if somebody tells you that that was what they were arrested for, your assumption should be that they were arrested because of their race, because that is the intention of the law. Before you start asking any other questions.
Here's the really weird thing. How many white people, or how many people in general, get arrested for loitering? I know you call the cops because someone's loitering, they're going to run them off.
Yeah.
How often, if they haven't caused any property damage, if they're not threatening people with physical harm, how often is anybody actually arrested and booked into jail or brought downtown for loitering?
In cities, not often. In podunk towns that need convicts for leasing?
Sure.
It happens a lot. remember the video that we showed? It's been a while ago, about the cop and the sheriff in Louisiana, who was upset that he had to release all of his good prisoners who did the work.
Yeah.
That is the reason for the law.
Right. It gives them people to do their thing.
Work. Yeah.
So anyway, that happened in Philadelphia. It looks like things are starting to, Starbucks is getting woke, whether they like it or not. I know you hate that term. I hate that term. I think we all hate that term. And by the way, if you brag about being woke, I want to punch you.
You're not woke if you're bragging about it.
If you're bragging about it, then you're doing it just for status.
Yes.
It's like you don't need to tell people you have a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
People know you have a great sense of humor. People will know if you are, and I'm not going to use the word, but if you're somebody who is up with society and the way things really should be.
Yeah.
And by the way things should be is you don't treat people like shit.
Yes.
Because unless they've done something to deserve it.
Exactly.
And even then, you want to dial it back a little bit.
A little bit.
right. It was also really bad to be black and 14 in the Detroit area. I mean, I'm guessing it probably is a lot of the time.
Yeah, getting lost. But, missing school bus.
Yeah, well, let's go to Fox 2 Detroit for the story.
Seemingly fear. This young man says he overslept and missed the bus, so he tried to walk the bus route to school but got lost. He didn't have his phone with him, so he knocked on someone's door for directions and almost paid for it with his life.
I'm kind of happy that I didn't become like a statistic.
14-year-old Brendan Walker is fortunate to be alive. He was almost gunned down Thursday morning asking for directions to Rochester High School. It happened right outside of this house on South Christian Hills in Rochester Hills.
Got to the house and I knocked on the lady's door. Then she started yelling at me. And she was like, why are you trying to break into my house? And I was trying to explain to her that I was trying to get directions to Rochester High. And she kept yelling at me. The guy came downstairs, and then he grabbed the gun, and I saw it, and then I started to run, and then that's when I heard the gunshot.
Thankfully, he missed. Brennan kept running, hid, then cried. Oakland County Sheriff deputies arrived soon after and took the woman's husband into custody.
Your son almost became a hashtag.
Almost became, exactly, and that's exactly how I feel, like, wow, because you were trying to get to school. I found out later that the only reason he missed is because he forgot to take the safety off.
The family's Ring doorbell recorded that near deadly encounter. Investigators showed Brennan and his mom, Lisa, the video. It confirmed their suspicions.
One of the things that stands out that probably angers me the most is while I was watching the tape, you could hear the wife say, "Why did these people choose my house?" Who are these people? And that's what that set me off. Because I didn't want to believe it was what it appeared to be, to look like. And then when I heard her say that, it was like, oh, but it is.
These people are offended by that comment. These people don't want people that think that way living in our community.
Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard.
I mean, it's just absurd that this happened. And I feel terrible for the young man, feel terrible for the mom and the anxiety that they had to go through. And we're going to ask for every charge permissible for this guy who stepped out and fired a shotgun because somebody knocked on his door.
Now, the wife should be arrested with him.
Yeah, because he doesn't come running like that if she's not screaming.
Yeah. She should be, he should, I'm not for domestic violence, but this is a case where he should whoop her ass when he get out of jail. For screaming for no fucking reason. So, and the two other things about this story. I keep telling y'all that black people have to have conversations with their kids that white people don't.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that the kid talked about was the fact that he's 14. He's tall, but if you look at him, you can tell he's a kid.
If you look closely, yes.
Yeah. So, one of the things that he told his, he talked about was that fact that his mom had to have a conversation with him about the fact that white people will be afraid of him because he looks older than he is, although he clearly looks like a kid.
Right.
The other thing is that he went to that house specifically because they had a neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
And so he thought that they would be safe.
That they would be responsible people.
That he could go to their house to get directions because they have a neighborhood watch sign. This guy was a retired fireman who did this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't go to the retired fireman for help, and he's going to shoot at you, then where are the good white people?
Well, the sheriff seems all right.
Yeah.
The sheriff. Yeah. Yeah. I can't defend any of that nonsense. Meanwhile, a new Alabama monument honors more than 4,000 victims of lynching. This is a really depressing show, Kareem, but I think it's important to talk about all of this because it's been... There have been a lot of things that have happened in the past couple of weeks that really go, hey, stupid shit that shouldn't be happening is still happening in America. Whatever you think is the underlying problem. And you can't blame Donald Trump for all of this.
No.
You can blame a lot of people for being emboldened and saying things publicly that they wouldn't have before because they feel like those are the feelings of the person in the White House. But
you can't. No, Donald Trump wasn't the person that was taking his kids to lynchings.
No. He didn't take his kids anywhere. Yeah. So the Oprah did a full piece on 60 Minutes about it. And I encourage you to go ahead and look it up, if you haven't. But,
yeah, so I have a book that I've been working on for a minute. I'm going to say more than a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually has to do with the lynching period, which is why come it's part of the reason why come it's not done is because I can only do so much research and then I have to put it down.
Oh my God, it has to be exhausting.
Otherwise, I would come in here and probably want to shoot or strangle you and Jason or my girlfriend.
Well, I'm not gentrifying a traditionally black neighborhood. Yeah. Remember that.
But you can only, like, I can do like a week's worth of research and then I have to put it down for like a year.
Wow.
Because some of the shit that you find is, it's like, how do you even think about doing those things? There's a, one of the stories that they talked about, I don't know if they actually talked about this story up there. So one of the stories I read was about a woman who was lynched. And when they found out that she was pregnant, they cut the baby out of her stomach and stomped on it with horses. That is the depravity of these people.
Yeah.
I read that and then I had this, I stopped the research for, actually I haven't been back to it since I read that story.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is, as a white person, I'm going to speak for white people for a moment. I've read about lynchings a little bit, not a lot. And every time I read about it, it is so disgusting to me that a human being could do that to another human being. And I know how they could do it because they don't see, especially at that time, and some people to this day, don't see African Americans as human beings.
Yeah.
They see them as less than human. Or, to borrow a phrase from the real racist, subhuman.
Yeah.
And it's the way that the Germans were okay with just exterminating millions of Jewish people.
And you know that where they got their blueprint was from the United States and the way they treated black people.
Look, we are the leader across the globe in a lot of things. Not all of them are good.
Apartheid in South Africa, their blueprint came from the black codes.
And not only that, I was watching an episode of Adam Ruins Everything.
Uh-huh.
And they have a bit at the end where it's like meantime in another part of the world. And they talked about how the United States government essentially let the South African forces find Nelson Mandela because at the time he was going around the country disguised as a chauffeur.
Yeah.
So that he wouldn't be detected. And it was the United States government that said, oh, hey, he's a chauffeur. That's how Nelson Mandela ended up in prison. And the United States, for a very long time, was okay with that whole apartheid thing that was going on in South Africa.
When the kids say we're going to divest, then they had to make some changes.
Ain't going
to
play Sun City.
That's it. And
that was in the 80s.
Yeah. And so the fact that that's where this started lets you know that when you say that kids shouldn't protest or that musicians and artists should stay in their lane, well, those are the people that made this social change that happened in South Africa. Those were the things that pushed apartheid to its death.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, people just need to look. Empathy is a really easy thing once you start to practice it.
Yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't know what empathy is, that's the ability to feel other people, feel other people's pain, suffering, put yourself in their shoes, so to speak.
Yeah.
Once you start doing that, go, how would you feel if blank? And take away everything else. Just go, how would you feel if you and your friend were at Starbucks and you got arrested because you were waiting for another friend?
Yeah.
Imagine you're in a foreign country. Or imagine you're in Memphis.
Yeah.
Let's go someplace where being a white person does not make you a majority of anything.
Yeah.
You're in Memphis and you go into the Starbucks and everybody around you is black and you're white and you go in with a friend and you're waiting for a third friend and then suddenly the cops show up.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah.
And by the way, if you've never been to that, to a situation like that, you need to go. Because it's really eye-opening.
Yeah.
Especially if you are from an area like I am from Vermont. You go to Memphis and it didn't really dawn on me what it was as I was there for the first day or so. I was like, everything here is different. There's a different vibe to stuff. And then I started to really notice. I go, oh, there's almost no white people here. And I was having a fine time. Everybody was really nice.
Yeah.
There was nothing about it that made me feel like there was any sort of danger or being ill at ease about anything. It was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Damn. I swear to God, everybody should try this. Plan a trip to Memphis and stay away from Graceland, but plan a trip to Memphis and just go and hang out like downtown.
That's the black experience of Memphis.
Yeah. Just go and hang out, man. It's a trip, and it really does sort of reset your thinking to be like, oh, this is what it's like to walk into a situation where you're the only person who looks like you in a room.
Yeah.
And you can try to intellectualize that, but until you experience it, it ain't going to sink in.
Yeah.
To the same level. It just can't.
Yeah.
It just can't.
And the last thing I'm going to say about the civil rights lynching thing was the most disturbing thing was the fact that they took their kids.
Right.
Like they were going to a Justin Bieber concert.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go down and watch the lynching.
In cases they got dressed up in their Sunday best. And, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but in the black community, there's a legend that the word picnic actually comes from lynching, to pitch a nigger. Pick a nigger. That's where.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember, watching a lot of stuff on World War II, and there is a documentary series about World War II, and I forget the exact name of it. And they talk about the concentration camps and the horrors that went on there and how we know. And the line that was written, and I will remember this until the day I die, like tourists in hell, they took pictures.
Yeah.
And then they just showed photograph after photograph after photograph of it. And when you start to see this happening, and there are photographs of lynchings in the United States.
Postcards.
Yeah. They're not hard to find.
I have a coffee table book just so that you don't forget.
It's a fun dinner party. meanwhile, I have some sad news for you. Especially if you love Henry David Thoreau, and I don't, cause fuck him and his shitty work.
Hey, I like Thoreau.
Well, Walden Pond, the once pristine jewel that inspired him, has been befouled by generations of swimmers pissing in the water.
Oh, you nasty bastards.
Right? So Walden Pond is being killed by you taking a leak. Now, despite some efforts to clean it up, the water is nowhere as near as pure as it was when Thoreau dipped his toes in it while camping out at a cabin on the shore for 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days starting in 1845. There's a surge in the pond's level of nitrogen and phosphorus. Yeah, that's from human waste. That in turn feeds the algae, spreads across the water, and blocks the rays of the sun, which the fish need to survive. So, I can proudly say I've had nothing to do with the devastation of Walden Pond.
White people, again, ponds don't clean themselves.
No.
They are not the ocean. There's no filter. It does not go out and come back in. It's all what you left in there.
Mm-hmm. It's not like a vagina. It's not self-cleaning. meanwhile, let's go to something a little bit more ridiculous. A fast food chain in Gulfport, Mississippi has a message for anyone smoking marijuana in the drive-through lane. The laminated sign reads, "Attention! If you're smoking weed in the drive-through, you will not be served. Please show some common courtesy and smoke and air out before you pull up to order." The store manager said the sign was posted a couple weeks ago after a patron blew smoke in the face of an underage employee. She said in addition to the incident, employees were tired of smelling pot when taking orders. Freeman said the sign had worked so far, curtailing some of the unwanted aromas that would otherwise have wafted from the patron's vehicles. There have been a lot of pictures of the signs taken, she said. Sad news, though, it has in fact been taken down now. So,
hey, dummy, that's how you get paid, by people smoking weed.
Yeah, but do it before you get there is all they're asking for. It's not Taco Bell, for God's sake. Oh, and meanwhile, Kareem, a man is facing charges after he was caught masturbating in a Farmington Hills Tim Hortons and then refusing to leave. See, now this...
What the hell is a Tim Hortons?
Tim Hortons is a donut shop of Canadian origin, but there are some in the U.S., specifically like in the Northeast. So Ali Mohammed Ali, who's 39, was charged with disorderly person obscene conduct, disturbing the peace, and failing to comply with the sex offender registry. There he is, Kareem. Take a look at him. The manager of the restaurant called police just before 9 a.m. to report a man with his hands down his pants making other customers uncomfortable. She said that she had asked him to leave two times before contacting the police. That's probably more than the Starbucks manager did. Police found Ali sitting with his arms crossed, his legs spread apart, and his penis erect. He was staring toward the cashier counter and televisions. The officer said his pants were zipped and his belt was buckled, but his pants were still loose enough to fit his hands inside. He spoke broken English, but was able to understand basic commands, but wasn't able to provide information such as his address or city where he lives. Police were unable to interview the man due to the language barrier, but later found an expired employment authorization card from the Department of Homeland Security indicating he is from the Sudan. He's scheduled to be deported. Hearings in June due to the expired work permit. Oh, by the way, he also has a criminal history and was released from prison in November for a sex offense. His bond was set at $500,000. Hey, ICE, that's the motherfucker that needs to go.
Oh, yeah.
Meet him as he's leaving prison.
Kick him in the nuts on the way out.
Right? Jesus Christ. Anywho, let's have some happy news for a moment, Kareem, shall we?
Yes.
NFL execs say Johnny Manziel's potential is off the charts amid his comeback attempt. Are you excited for Johnny Football?
I thought you said happy news. Fuck Johnny Manziel.
It's a comeback story.
It's a bullshit comeback story. I thought we were through dealing with racism and you bring up this motherfucker.
Look, he's off the drugs now.
That is the most racist. That is the most racist thing the NFL did. That's actually more racist than Colin Kaepernick not being in the league.
No, well, no. So the Colin Kaepernick thing. So, and this is, this blew my mind. So Johnny Manziel may be coming back. That's enough about that. So on the day the Seahawks canceled Colin Kaepernick's visit to Seattle, I'm trying to remember the name of the 49er who was arrested.
He's the middle linebacker, and I can't think of his name.
Yes, he is. Basically, they said they're not going to release him because they're going to wait for all the results. So on the same day that they don't release, that Colin Kaepernick is not allowed, they cancel his visit. I mean, it's... It's absolutely insanity.
That's why, that is why Pete Carroll lost the team last year. He didn't know, he didn't realize it at the time, but that's why he lost the team last year, was the fact that they brought him in for a tryout.
Right.
And then they didn't sign him saying that he should be a starter somewhere. That's why he lost the team. That is exactly why he lost the team.
It's just absolutely nuts that they canceled the visit. It's like, oh yeah, don't even bother coming. I mean, I suppose don't waste your time. Reuben Foster.
Yeah, Reuben Foster. So you have Johnny Manziel, who's been arrested for domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
has a history of drug use.
He does. He's clean now.
Said that the Cleveland Browns were stupid for bringing him in because he wasn't an X's and O's guy. But you're not going to get, so he's done all this. He did all of this shit. Most of what he did in college was run around and wait for Mike Evans, who's 6'5",
mm-hmm.
to get behind the defense and just throw a Hail Mary and hope that he would be able to outjump anybody.
Sure.
So you want to give him another chance, but you want to tell a young man like, I can't remember his first name right now, Lamar Jackson,
mm-hmm.
who threw for 4,000 yards last year and ran for another 1,000, that he should play wide receiver.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is it, the 70s?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, fuck Johnny Manziel.
So.
And the Spring League.
I'm like, what is going on? When you look at it all, the NFL does not come out looking good right now. It really doesn't. All right. Let's do something silly. Let's do this.
Florida. Land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
A Florida woman who was arrested last month on drug possession charges blamed the cocaine found in her purse on the wind. Kenesha Posey, 26, was one of two passengers in a car that was swerving in the roadway when it was stopped by Fort Pierce police on March 21st. According to the police report, an officer approached the car, smelled the odor of marijuana coming from inside. During a search of the car, the officer found cocaine and marijuana in separate bags inside a purse that Posey had on her lap. When questioned about the drug, she admitted the marijuana was hers, but the cocaine, that's a different story, saying, I don't know anything about any cocaine. It's a windy day. It must have flown through the window and into my purse. They didn't buy it. She was booked into county jail on one felony count of cocaine possession and a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession. She was later released on bond. The bag of cocaine blew into your purse? The bag of cocaine blew into your purse? Oh, boy. I don't know. I don't know what's up with people. That's not all that's happening in Florida. University of Florida is allowing parking violators to pay tickets by a food donation. The rub? Many assumed that the new plan was an April Fool's prank. By the way, the University of Florida president said on April Fool's Day that people cited for parking violations on campus over the past year could get amnesty by donating food, and many thought that that was a prank, but nearly 2,000 people then learned it wasn't. The president, W. Kent Fuchs, said on Twitter that nearly 2,000 citations have been exchanged for just under 9,500 food donations. The food, peanut butter canned peaches and other canned items, will fill the shelves of the school's field and fork pantry.
Hey, that is a good, especially since a lot of those people probably couldn't pay their tickets in the first place.
Right? Well, the college students?
Yeah.
Yeah. Parking tickets for college students is the biggest pain in the ass. I got one for parking in a snow removal zone on a 70 degree day. And they're like, well, it's a snow removal zone from November through March. I said, but it was 74 degrees.
It's not snowing today, you dumb bastard.
74 degrees. And here's the thing. So there was so you could go before this board of fellow students to appeal your ticket, which I did. My defense was, I got a ticket for parking in a snow removal zone, and it was 74 degrees. And they ruled against me. Those fucking ass-kissing little cock weasels.
They needed that $20.
But they didn't get, they're just these little dickweeds. Fuck them. Fuck those assholes. Fuck those assholes. All right, time for a quick palate cleanser. Here's a next door post. If you don't know what that is, that's where people who spy on their neighbors post on the internet. Apparently, two kids dressed up as a man in a trench coat to scam beer in Daly City. They would have gotten away with it, too. Two kids were disguised as a tall man in a trench coat. They tried to get a customer at a convenience store to buy them beer. That's according to a post in the next door site from Pacifica in Daly City in the San Francisco area. Marcus Rinaldi wrote that he saw a boyish-looking fellow. He said it was easy to tell that one of the youths is perched on the other's shoulders. When he left the store, he said he was followed out by the man who asked him to buy beer. And why couldn't he buy it himself? Because he left his ID at the detective agency where he worked.
Their trench coat. Wow.
Come on, kids. I you know they saw that on TV and said, you know, it just might work. The problem is they were probably already high.
It's like me seeing Arnold stick some food in his pocket when I was a kid and doing it.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you. They say that children are our future. Well, they are. Not all of them are our bright future.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Yeah, let's wrap this shit up. By the way, if you want to help us out, don't buy us beer, although we do like beer. Go ahead and do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show and doesn't cost you anything extra, and we do appreciate it when you do that, so thanks in advance. All right, it's time to check in with our friends in Plattsburgh, New York, and see what's the bee in their bonnet. This week, it's Speak Out. First up, I think folks are missing the big picture when it comes to the gun controversy. The people who are carrying out these horrendous attacks are not doing so because they have access to a gun. They are consumed with rage. Whatever the reason, rage is driving them. If you're a bully, participate in mean Facebook or social media messaging, even to pass it on to others, you're contributing to the rage of someone who is on the outside looking in. Look around you. Who could use a smile and a hello? Why are letters to the editor filled with hatred and name-calling by people who consider themselves kind and caring? I think we could all use a dose of humanity. This isn't just about us, it's about them too. Do your part by practicing acceptance of those different from yourself, even if you don't agree with their politics or how they dress, or if you find them awkward. We're in this life together. Leave your own hatred behind and move forward.
If that person wants to save a life, they should give an angry person a blowjob.
I will say this, their heart's in the right place.
Yes.
Their brain is not. By the way, how about we take the guns away from the people that are filled with rage?
Yes.
Don't give them access to these giant killing machines. I don't know, it's a crazy idea. Hey, if Vermont is such a good place to live, why do so many live in New York? They live in New York but register their cars in Vermont. If Vermont cares so much about their people, why can't they keep them living in Vermont? New York is such a better place to live.
Wow.
By the way, just for the record, these are people who live in New York that couldn't find jobs in New York anymore that have to now go to Vermont to work there. And what they do, because you take a ferry from one side to the other, You get a car, you get a beater car, you register it in Vermont, and you leave it on the other side of the ferry dock so that you take the ferry as a passenger every day because it's tremendously cheaper.
Ah.
That's what this all is. Hey, we, the people of Beekmantown, try to make all of our election results close just to bring some excitement to the North Country during these boring winter months. Thanks, Beekmantown.
We need that.
Thanks, Beekmantown. My grandson got off the bus today crying because the bus driver told him he didn't like the way his father talked to him on the bus. Well, if you want respect, then give respect. Don't pick on the child. We pay taxes for you to bring those children to school. There's enough bullying around. You don't need to do it. Really? I don't know. How about you just go on the bus and go, hey, bus driver, stop being a dick to the kid. Would that be so hard? I mean, just that. Back in my day, we'd just go on the bus and confront the bus driver.
Your parents would, anyway.
Yes, overtime, Facebook, personal phone calls, and gab sessions should be eliminated from jobs. I'm retired now and had worked for a city department. Some staff did a lot of non-work on work time, wasting the city's money. I'm not being self-righteous when I say only work is for working. Yes, you are.
Asshole.
Right? Settle down. And finally, I see another editorial in the press today about racism. Yes, there's racism in this country and probably always will be to some degree. There are 325 million people in the USA. We as a country will never agree 100% on anything, whether it be race, global changes, politics, education, and the list goes on and on. As far as race goes, I think this country has come a long way from the 60s, contrary to the press's editorial. We have further to go, but we'll reach that end goal of a country 100% racism-free is unlikely. Throughout history, there has been disagreement on whatever topic one chooses, and that most likely will continue. This is not a rosy picture, but a realistic one. We can all work together to make improvements.
Doesn't sound like you want to make improvements.
I'm going to go back to the motto of this show. Don't be a dick. Don't be an asshole. That's it. It's really that simple. You want a simple answer? Quit being an asshole.
Stop being an asshole. Unless it's required.
And by the way, why are we having a disagreement on racism? It's not okay.
Exactly.
It's not okay. How about we treat everybody the same? How about that? How about we all treat everybody equally? How about I treat Kareem with the same level of care and consideration that I treat Jason? Oh, wait, I do. Do you know why? Because it's not that fucking hard.
Exactly.
Oh, racism, you can't all agree. Fuck you. Stop making excuses for racists. And stop trying to hide behind Jesus, too. We'll get to that next show. We'll get to White Jesus next show. Seriously, we will. That's coming up on the Friday episode. You want to see it. All right, that'll do it for Kareem and myself. Jason, feel better. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you on Friday.